Another angle of our continuing coverage of climate change and its impact. Tonight, our science team looks at the toll it's taking on sea turtles and some of their tiniest offspring. We went to the coast of southern Florida and came back with a major report that we are launching on our website tonight. Here's a part of it.
Turtles go back around 230 million years. Sea turtles go back around 110 million years. And, you know, while I'm happy to report that we've had a really big nesting year this year and last year, their numbers are still depleted from what they've been historically. So we're not looking at a species that's out of the woods yet. When we think about the biology of the animal, you know, the loggerhead has been around for around 60 million years. There have been a lot of climatic changes during that time, and very few of them have occurred at this rate. It changes where the droughts occur, it changes where the heavy rainfall events occur, it changes where major tropical storms occur and the sizes of the tropical storms. The shifting climate is shifting turtles as well. Now, one of the things that we've discovered is when there's major rainfall events or major storm surge events, that we can see the changes in the temperature in the nest. So the reason why the temperature matters is because sea turtles have environmentally determined sex. They don't have an X or Y chromosome. They have a sex that's defined during development by the incubation environment. And in general, we have highly biased sex ratios where female bias is common. If the sand absorbs more heat, we're going to push that female bias, which we know is really common down here, to an even more extreme situation. So a typical loggerhead down here in southern Florida is producing about 105 eggs. If a female nests five times 105, if my math is good today, should be 525 eggs. So she'll have to nest over 10 nesting seasons, which is about in the case of a loggerhead, a 20 or 30 year period, just to replace herself and maybe one mate. If you do a back of the envelope calculation, we're looking at about 1 in 7,000 making it to adulthood. Let's take that same turtle and her nesting over 20 years, so that's 10 nesting events. If five of those, everything gets wiped out by storms, and five of those are drought years where turtle production is low, and it's so hot that everything that comes out of the nest is a female, wow, as long as they can find a date, they've got a future. But if there aren't enough males out there, then there's a problem. They've been through some climate changes, but we hope this climate changing event is not one that they can't recover from, that they can't compensate for. And if it is so bad that they can't compensate, that's a pretty dire statement, not only for the turtles, but for us.
I'm joined now by science producer Sikan Akpan. So, Sikan, you're a science guy, so you know about melting glaciers and polar bears. Tell us why we care about loggerhead turtles.
So we're calling this series the wild side of sea level rise, because we're looking at the, you know, infinite little ways that sea level rise will impact wildlife along the coast. Now, if you look at adult sea turtles, they're not that small, right? They're not that tiny. You know, a leatherback sea turtle can weigh as much as a motorcycle. Huh. But sea level rise is going to have a huge impact on their very small nestlings. So as Jeanette mentioned in the video, sea level rise is washing out nests at a higher frequency than we've seen in the past. Storm surges are a part of that. And then we also have this issue with beach erosion, which is squeezing the amount of area that sea turtles have to nest.
Now, I highly recommend people going and reading your report, which is very interesting. But one of the things that struck me was you found that you reported that only 1 in 7,000 of these loggerheads, once they're born, actually make it to adulthood.
Right. So sea turtles, and especially their hatchlings, often serve as prey for a lot of predators. So while we were out there on the beach, producer Mike Fritz and I, you know, we saw a fox running around the beach. And one of the researchers told us that, you know, a fox could eat an entire nest of sea turtle eggs. So it could eat 100 eggs in a single sitting. Once the hatchlings make it off the beach and into water, they're often prey for sharks. And so then when you compound the fact that so few survive natural predation with the fact that beach erosion and also storm surge is washing out more nests, you're going to have, you know, sea turtles sort of pushed to the brink in terms of their genetic diversity and also just their population numbers overall.
Predators have always been thus, right? But what's different now, it seems that we're talking about the effects of drought and, as you mentioned, erosion and warming and storm surges. Of all of those factors, what would you say is the most having the most deadly impact?
Well, I think all of those are having pretty cataclysmic effects. I mean, as Jeanette mentioned with her research, they're seeing that drought is forcing this sex ratio bias, where they're going to have almost primarily females being reproduced. And if you have that occur for multiple generations, you can lose a lot of the diversity of sea turtles, but also just their ability to reproduce overall.
So what is the solution? Or are there solutions, first of all? And are there solutions we can pay for?
One solution is beach renourishment, which is when you ship sand from offshore and you just try to physically rebuild the beach. For a couple of different reasons, that isn't always the greatest for sea turtles. Sea turtles have a harder time digging into a renourished beach. Their nests are often misshapen, which can prevent hatchlings from being able to escape, and you just end up with a big trap
filled
with turtle goop.
And it's an expensive prospect also.
It's also very expensive. So since 1991, Florida has spent over $2 billion to renourish beaches. And if you think about it, if you think about this prospect long term, it isn't very sustainable because sea levels are predicted to rise by at least 5 feet by 2100, which so beach renourishment isn't really a solution in that case, right?
Right. Well, C. Connie introduced me to something I knew nothing about and now find terribly interesting. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Gwen.